Miss Priscilla's Secret. Down by the harbour lived Miss Priscilla, the prim and proper schoolmistress of Black Pebble. The schoolhouse was the tallest building in the town. On the ground floor, Miss Priscilla taught reading. On the second floor, writing. And on the third floor, arithmetic. The higher she went, the stricter she became. Detention was held in the attic. It was here that Timothy was doing spelling exercises after school had closed. Timothy was the worst speller in the class. Suddenly, a muffled squawk came from the roof. "Oh, Quentin must be stuck in the chimney pot again," sighed Miss Priscilla. Quentin Beak was her pet pigeon. As Miss Priscilla clambered onto the roof to rescue him, a puff of wind caught at her skirts. Far below, a laundress was passing by.
"Oh, what a fine silk petticoat the schoolmistress is wearing," she thought.
And she went on her way to the harbour to find her husband, the Black Pebble Coast Guard. He was gazing idly through his telescope at a ship nearing the headland. The name on its bow was the Scarlet Cockatoo. Bored with his wife's tittle-tattle about Miss Priscilla's splendid silk petticoat, he dreamed his favourite dream, that one day he would win the Coast Guard's gold medallion for recovery of smuggled goods. Suddenly, he became very thoughtful indeed. Now, how could a poor schoolmistress afford such luxury? I think I'll visit Miss Priscilla this very day. Later, the laundress called at Black Pebble House with the latest gossip.
"Imagine the schoolmistress wearing finer petticoats than I,"
wailed Lady Black Pebble.
"I think I'll pay a call on Miss Priscilla this very day."
Meanwhile, Timothy was reviving Quentin Beak with drops of best brandy when he noticed a piece of paper attached to the pigeon's leg.
"Look, Miss Priscilla, it must be a message. Perhaps Quentin is a carrier pigeon."
"Nonsense, my boy. It is only a piece of rubbish. I have never known such a bird for getting itself into a mess."
And she slipped the paper into her pocket.
"Detention is over for today, Timothy. You may go home."
As Timothy was putting on his coat in the hall, he noticed the mysterious door which Miss Priscilla always kept locked. The schoolchildren were forever telling each other creepy stories about what lay behind it. Slamming the schoolhouse door behind him, Timothy bolted down the path. He was halfway home when he remembered that he had left his homework behind. He would have to go back for it if he didn't want another detention. But when he went back into the hall, he found the mysterious door was ajar. He didn't notice that the piece of paper he had taken from Quentin's leg was lying on the floor. He was aware only of a delicious, Christmassy smell. The air was filled with a mingling of tea, tobacco, brandy, fragrant perfumes, and strange spices. He peeped round the door just in time to see Miss Priscilla bounding down a flight of stone steps in not at all her usual prim and proper fashion. He sped silently after her. The Christmassy smell grew stronger. Down another flight she went, and yet another, until she came to a halt in front of an old oak chest at the bottom. Timothy managed to hide himself behind a huge packing case. But then he took a deep breath and sneezed.
Achoo!
A terribly loud sneeze, for the packing case contained snuff.
"Gold doubloons and mizzenmasts!"
Miss Priscilla exclaimed, quite unlike her usual self.
"Show yourself, you miserable landlubber!"
Quaking, Timothy stepped forward. Standing amidst barrels and boxes, bottles and tea chests, rolls of lace and gleaming silk, was a strangely familiar figure.
Miss Priscilla, breathed Timothy. You're a smuggler.
The message which Quentin Beek had brought was from Julius Figwig, captain of the Scarlet Cockatoo, the very ship which the Coast Guard had been watching earlier. Julius had a smuggled cargo on board, and he wanted Miss Priscilla to collect it at once, because a bad storm was brewing.
Well, Timothy, said Miss Priscilla in her schoolmistress voice, as you have guessed the truth, you will have to come with me. But I do hope you are better at keeping secrets than you are at spelling.
Shivering with excitement, Timothy followed her through a long, dark tunnel that smelt of seaweed. Then they climbed dozens of steps until, at last, a door creaked open and out peered Lucas Longshanks, the lighthouse keeper. They were at the top of Black Pebble Lighthouse, and Lucas Longshanks was a smuggler too. He was not at all happy to see Timothy.
"Don't worry about me, Mr. Longshanks, sir,"
cried Timothy, terrified that he was going to miss all the fun.
"I can keep a secret."
"Maybe, maybe not,"
muttered Longshanks as he lit the oil burner and sent the lighthouse beam shining out into the darkness.
"But we're in for more trouble than a storm tonight. I can feel it in my bones."
Indeed, just at that moment, the Coast Guard was unfolding the secret message which he had found on the schoolhouse floor. It contained nothing but a picture of a scarlet cockatoo. He was about to throw it away when he remembered the ship he had seen off the headland that evening, and immediately he guessed where Miss Priscilla's fine silk had come from. With no more ado, he decided to row out to the Scarlet Cockatoo to see what was afoot. Outside, he bumped into Lady Blackpebble, who insisted on going with him. She was determined to have some of that smuggled silk for herself. By this time, Miss Priscilla was happily scaling a rope ladder as she transferred smuggled goods from the Scarlet Cockatoo to the lighthouse boat. Then the storm broke. But Lucas Longshanks, keeping watch from the top of the lighthouse, had an even greater shock. Heading straight for the Scarlet Cockatoo was the Coast Guard's boat. In a panic, he turned to run and did the most terrible thing a lighthouse keeper can ever do. He knocked over the lamp and the beam went out. From down below in the darkness came a terrible crunching sound. Horrified, Lucas Longshanks quickly relit the light, but it was too late. The Coast Guard's boat had struck the rocks and was sinking fast.
"Slithering sea snakes!"
cried Miss Priscilla. She jumped into the lighthouse boat and began to row for all she was worth.
"But you can't rescue the Coast Guard! He'll have us all put in irons!"
screeched Julius Figwig after her. But Miss Priscilla paid no heed. As the Scarlet Cockatoo fled out to sea, she and Timothy hauled the bedraggled victims out of the water. Lucas Longshanks rushed to throw them a line. Sometime later, the shipwrecked mariners were bundled up in blankets in the lighthouse kitchen, while Lucas Longshanks and Miss Priscilla handed round steaming mugs of comforting cocoa to everyone.
"Smuggling is a very serious offence, Miss Priscilla," began the Coast Guard sternly.
"But I only did it for excitement,"
Miss Priscilla pleaded.
"And I wasn't going to keep the booty for myself."
Then she added honestly,
"Well, perhaps a bale or two of silk and a cask of best brandy."
"For medicinal purposes,"
put in Timothy, thinking of Quentin Beek.
"However, in view of your valiant rescue of Lady Blackpebble and myself, I am prepared to overlook the whole affair, provided that you return the booty and promise never to go smuggling again.
Oh, very well. But life as a schoolmistress is going to be very dull after this.
Lucas Longshanks was allowed to return to his duties, for until this trouble, his lighthouse keeping had been beyond reproach. Besides which, the Coast Guard was in high spirits because the hall had won him the Coast Guard's gold medallion. But for some time afterwards, Miss Priscilla kept discovering a barrel of this and a case of that, tucked away in forgotten nooks and crannies. So for several years, the poor folk of Black Pebble would find mysterious gifts on their doorsteps on Christmas morning. And Timothy, who could keep a secret far better than he could spell, never uttered a word.